Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
You're listening to the Revenge of the Birds podcast, part of the SB Nation podcast network. Hosted by Damian Blake Parson, Murphy 7, Blake
all about your all about Arizona,
Arizona Cardinals.
Cardinals.
Go ahead there, and let me get here in 3, 2. Hello, and welcome into the Revenge of the Birds podcast. This is your host, Blake Murphy, on Twitter at BlakeMurphy7, joined with my co-host, Damian at DP underscore NFL. He also hosts the Talent Code podcast. And we're here with our season kickoff. Got a special guest joining us. He's the pre- and post-game host on 98.7 Arizona Sports for your Arizona Cardinals. And a local sports legend, covers all sorts of topics. Tim Ring, he's here to talk about the Cards and the Chiefs. Tim, how are you doing today? We're meeting on Labor Day weekend. You know, the Arizona weather is still pretty hot outside. Everyone's been kind of taking it easy, but football season, there's no sleeping on football season, no resting for that. It is in full gear already.
No, Blake, you know what? I've been waiting for this week for a long time because it's officially now game week. Cardinals were on the practice field earlier on Labor Day. Everybody's kind of wondering who exactly is on the practice field. Well, I'm sure we'll get into that a little bit because here we are. The season's not even obviously a game old, and there are all kinds of injury question marks, usually reserved for the middle of the season, but here we are as we embark on the season, and the Cardinals have all kinds of injury concerns, including the new cornerback, Trayvon Mullen, who was just acquired from the Raiders. So going to be interesting to see who exactly is on the field in week one against the Chiefs.
Absolutely. We'll talk about some of those, and as well as getting into, we got our three keys to victory, look at some X factors. What's kind of the perception you've had, at least, Tim, coming into this season, because it's been one of the craziest off seasons in Arizona sports, and that includes everyone getting extensions, not losing too many players outside of, you know, Chandler Jones leaving in trade, DeAndre Hopkins getting his suspension for the most part. The mood in the Phoenix Valley, it feels like that there's excitement, but also quite a bit of trepidation as far as coming into week one.
Yeah.
Those injuries, like you said, definitely play a part, I think.
You know, first of all, Blake, I think obviously there's always excitement when you open up an NFL season. I think fans inherently are always going to be thrilled about the new season starting and always hopeful that their team is going to end up in the postseason. And obviously for the Cardinals, the 2022 season is no different. As for the offseason, I got to be honest. I mean, I'm glad they got Kyler done and that drama is behind them. I would have liked to have seen it maybe either happen either earlier, or if it did happen, when it happened, maybe not affect Kyler so much in terms of him not being around, because I was really hoping Kyler, after the whole COVID pandemic deal, would have a full legitimate off season to kind of help him grow with this offense and the new pieces that are part of it. But that didn't happen. I would have liked to have seen the Cardinals be a little more aggressive in free agency. Clearly you lose Chandler Jones. And I don't think the Cardinals went out, and I know they re-signed Ertz and they got Connor in the fold, and that's good. But I don't think they were hyper-aggressive in terms of reeling in some front-line, top-of-the-line talent from the outside that can make them a better football team in 2022. So they were kind of dragging their feet on that. And maybe, guys, that was because they were kind of held hostage by the Eric Burkhart, Kyler Murray negotiation. And then, of course, like you mentioned it, the Hopkins suspension. So now that all that is said and done, it's time to play some football. And for me, you know, we talked about this on the radio on Monday. For me, the biggest thing, guys, and I'm sure you agree, is which Cardinal team is going to roll out as we begin the season, the team that started 10-2 last year, or something that looks kind of like it, or the team that finished the season last year in December in the playoffs, a team that, you know, we can look back now and say was a bad foot, even though they were a playoff team, the team that played in December and January was a bad football team.
I'm just ready to have football, right? Like, you know, all the off-season drama and all that stuff that keeps us going and keeps us talking when there's no football, I'm glad that's over. We have football. The pads will be popping. Everything will be live. You know, God bless preseason, but we love the games that matter, right? So it's, to me, I'm excited just to see how Cliff and this team comes out. Like Tim talked about, you know, which team is going to show up? Is it going to be a team that collapsed at the end of the season for the third straight season? Or is this going to be a team that comes out and say, you know what, we're going to put all the noise behind this and we're going to make a statement similar to what they did last season, right? They came into that Tennessee Titans game where a lot of people were expecting Derrick Henry to run for 200 plus yards on them. And they came out and straight thwarted them, like just dominated the game from opening kickoff to the clock hit zero in the fourth quarter. And they came out and kind of set a statement, set a precedent and a tone for the season. And that's what I'm interested to see the most coming this Sunday is what kind of tone will be set? What kind of vibe will we feel from Cliff Kingsbury? Do they want to set the narrative and put everything behind them? Because we all know the old saying, nothing helps put away problems besides winning. Winning cures all, right? I mean, if you have issues in the locker room, people want their money. When the team's 10-0, nobody's talking about any of that. So if they can get into a winning start, it'll be good to kind of silence the doubters just a little bit.
Yeah.
No, I agree there. And in order to get started and make that statement, they've got a very tough opponent. Credit maybe the NFL for seeing the Cardinals getting to this stage. But the Kansas City Chiefs have been a team that has been a powerhouse in the NFL ever since they drafted Patrick Mahomes. Bruce Arians, I know, went on the news this week, talked a bit about how the Cardinals were looking at Mahomes. Previously, Arizona had tried to get Andy Reid as their head coach, so it's almost kind of this, you know, alternate history. And on the Cardinals side, you've got Mahomes' former college head coach in Cliff Kingsbury. This is kind of the Cliff Bowl, as I think I've called it, just because you've got so many of those connections to this guy at Texas Tech. But the biggest difference, of course, is that the pedigree of the Chiefs has been a much higher team the last few years. They've made four straight AFC championship games. And as far as for when you talk about setting the tone, boy, do the Chiefs in their week one games go out and set the tone. They score about an average of 36 points a game in their week ones overall. That's a crazy stat. Their opponents in average score about 25. So you're talking about 11 points, blowout victories across the board. Now, last year, things were a bit different. Last year, they had to have two late touchdowns, needing a couple of Browns turnovers in order to get that 33-29 victory. They were on the road for that game as well, I believe. This year, the Cardinals, can they come in and be able to match them? Obviously, Arizona has been wanting to, you know, get some of their playmakers on the defensive side locked in for long term. And like you talked about, making some trades. Cardinals do go and extend Jalen Thompson, one of the bright young safeties in the NFL this week, and make a trade for someone who's very familiar with the Chiefs, Raiders defensive back Trayvon Mullen. I think he's a good player who's definitely fits that outside corner mold. Give up a small pick for him. It's one of those avenues where you can at least see how the Chiefs in the years past have always been this Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce team. Now that's gone. Tyreek Hill's in Miami. What's the kind of Chiefs team that we're going to get is just as much, I think, a mystery to people as I think the Cardinals and what they may look like without DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, Blake, yeah, I mean, Tyreek Hill's gone, right? So that's a huge dimension taken from Andy Reid and Patrick Holmes' arsenal. I mean, let's make no mistake about it. They're not going to be as dangerous without him, but they'll be dangerous in different ways. Juju Smith-Schuster is one hell of a wide receiver. And then you get Marquez Valdez-Scantling and Sky Moore to throw into your offensive repertoire. And those guys will all be making their Chiefs debut against the Cardinals on Sunday. Because they are all making their Chiefs debut, that may play into the Cardinals' favor only because you're getting these guys in their first game with Patrick Mahomes, and they may not be the fine-tuned machine that they'll be by season's end. Having said that, listen, you have Patrick Mahomes on the other side of the field. You are going to be in for a long afternoon as a defense. And to me, that's the biggest concern right now for the Cardinals going into the season. And this is a concern whether you were playing Patrick Mahomes or any other quarterback in the National Football League. I'm not so worried about the Cardinals' offense. They may have to essentially outscore the Chiefs on Sunday, Blake and Dame, and that's okay. I mean, a win's a win, no matter how you get it. But the Cardinal defense right now, already so thin in that cornerback room before Antonio Hamilton burns himself in his home kitchen. Now he's out, not only out for the game, but out for the month. So you got to go basically less than 2 weeks before the season. You trade a seventh round pick for Trayvon Mullen, who was a second round pick out of Clemson. So he's got some pedigree, he's got some ability, but he was clearly a guy the Raiders didn't feel they needed this season, right? We could just, that's a fact. For the Raiders to unload him for a seventh round pick, they were clearly prepared to play this season without him. And then Javelin Guidry, a guy that was released by the Jets. So now you have two cornerbacks that you're basically picked up off of another team's scrap heap that are not here to provide depth, guys, because of the Cardinals situation. They're here to play. I mean, those dudes got to play on Sunday. And if you want to beat the Chiefs, they have to play, and they have to play well. And I'll throw it back to you guys with this. They've got to be up to speed on Vance Joseph's defense. They've got to blend in with Jalen and Buddha and understand what's going on with what the Cardinals are trying to do, because they're being thrown out there. I mean, you talk about being thrown into the fire, and it's not only week one, week two. You got Devontae Adams and Derek Carr and Josh McDaniels. And week three, you got Sean McVay and Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. So, I mean, these guys got to be ready to go like now. And now Trayvon Mullen today on Monday says, I think I'm going to be ready to play. I mean, I'm a little worried about the back end of that Cardinal defense, fellas.
I think it's all good stuff, at least. And I think that every Cardinals fan, for the most part, should show some worry, especially when you're talking about a team that decided to rely on the second year of J.J. Watt, that has had Marcus Golden with the toe injury. Now, obviously, there may be some elements of Golden. He's expressed he'd like a new contract, a new deal. Cardinals do have some cap space if they wanted to reward him. We're looking, however, at a very veteran 30-something led team, and these are the kind of guys who you're relying on in Zach Ertz, Marcus Golden. We'll see if J.J. Watt would be more of a veteran's day off, but this is also that guy who missed half the season last year and has never been known for his durability. Dame, on the Chiefs side, the Chiefs have also, I think, invested in the opposite of how we'll talk about Arizona and investing in their offense, but the Chiefs went out and have two first-round picks, and then also, as Tim mentioned, Sky Moore being added to their team. Some of these players were guys that the Cardinals, you know, may have been looking at in the NFL draft, with the likes of Trent McDuffie, the cornerback, who's a rookie. He's probably going to start. George Karlaftis is likely going to start. Sky Moore, perhaps you see more of a Rondale Moore type of role for him, at least. He's looked very well in camp, similar to Rondale a year ago. Just from some of a draft perspective, how much do you think that we can expect where the Cardinals can, you know, make plays on this Chiefs defense that with some of these younger players and new looks, maybe is it just as suspect as Arizona's, or will that talent shine through?
I mean, looking at what they brought in, you know, George Karlaftis, Leo Chenault at linebacker, Joshua Williams, Trent McDuffie, those guys are, to me, are going to play pivotal roles for this Chiefs defense. And the one thing that the Chiefs wanted to make sure that they did a better job of is getting tougher, being more physical. Leo Chenault is a rocked up physical animal at the linebacker position. He will punch you in the mouth. He comes downhill with a reckless physical abandon. That's how he plays. He plays on the edge. He plays some off-ball linebacker. Trent McDuffie's a scrappy run-defending corner that plays sticky in coverage. Joshua Williams is more of the taller, longer athlete at corner, so he's also trying to pick up being an NFL corner. And I saw him down at the Senior Bowl. He's got all the tools, but it's all about him putting it all together with his package, man. But George Karlaftis is going to be, I think, out of all of them, he's going to be the guy to watch, because in this preseason, he was really effective getting to the quarterback. The motor, the things that everything that everybody lauds and leans on for Aiden Hutchinson in Detroit, that's the same guy that the Chiefs drafted in George Karlaftis. They just got him at the back of the first round. This is the exact same player. High motor, energetic, strong, like explosive off the edge, can bend, good hand work. He has all those same qualities. So he's going to be very, very important. And of course, that means he's going to see some one-on-ones, because mm-hmm. they got a guy in the middle. We all talk about Aaron. We know how great Aaron Donald is and Fletcher Cox. But Chris Jones in the middle of that Chiefs defensive line is a monster. He creates a lot of different issues for protections. And with trying to defend him, possibly double team, that means our tackles are going to have to win one-on-one battles with Karlaftis and even Frank Clark. So the rookies are going to play a big role. Sky Moore, I think he, coming out as a prospect, he was more well-rounded as a route runner than Rondale. Rondale dealt with a lot of injuries, so he never got the chance to truly develop as a receiver for Purdue. And Purdue, when they had him, they just said, listen, you're the best player we have on offense. We're going to give you the ball anyway, anyhow, any means. And, you know, with Sky yep. Moore, he ran a lot more routes and knew how to get open a little bit better. So I think he comes in a little bit more polished. But the main thing about it is Andy Reid's offense is very complex. And it's not easy for a rookie to pick that up and hit the ground running. So like Tim talked about, with them having so many young players and relying on so many new options for week one, that could play into the Cardinals' favor.
That's all good stuff, at least. So let's go and talk about our three keys to victory for the Cardinals this season. I think one of the avenues we saw last year is that you, number one, don't let Travis Kelce take you to town. I think that's got to be, I think, one of the first keys. Because when you see the playmakers of Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, that was essentially your offense if you were the Chiefs. Now you've got Tyreek Hill gone. Bring in Juju as a veteran. You bring in, obviously, Marquise Valdes-Scantling as a deep threat. So I think the Cardinals, the big player I think you want to look at, we can talk about this with X factors, would be Isaiah Simmons in that role and flexibility. Obviously, your safeties are going to play a role, but Simmons has that size and speed. Chiefs offense had struggles. That was probably the first time that we'd really seen it in the NFL, because teams eventually said, you know what, we're going to do what Todd Bowles did in that Super Bowl with the Bucks. We'll play our safeties deep, take away that deep passing attack that Mahomes has used, and we're going to rough up Travis Kelce at the line, make it where he's not easily getting into his breaks and his routes. And they didn't really blitz Mahomes all that much. They would drop guys back in coverage, make him kind of run around a little bit and try to make those throws. It's kind of similar to how a lot of teams attack the Arizona Cardinals defensively down the stretch. And that's kind of this air raid type of scheme. So what did we see the Chiefs do? They adjusted and ran the ball really well. I think if you can take away Travis Kelce and make the Chiefs one-dimensional, that I think is key number one for the Cards. But it's a tough sell to be able to stop one of the best tight end, the surefire Hall of Famer.
Yeah, Blake, easier said than done. But you're right. I mean, if not shut him down, at least contain him. I mean, at least not let him, as you say, slaughter you. I mean, I think this is where you have the emerging Jalen Thompson as one of the better cover safeties in the league. This is why you pay him that money. I'll give you my first key, and I've been harping on this for a long time. I firmly believe that for the Cardinals to be an effective team, Kyler Murray has to run the football. And I'm not talking about scrambling off of broken plays, which is fine. He can and should do that. I'm talking about design runs. The numbers are there. When Kyler Murray has five or fewer rushing attempts in a game, the Cardinals are 0-10-1. I mean, do the math. It's right there. When they don't utilize Kyler Murray as a running weapon, they don't win. They don't win. For me, I just listen. There's no doubt he can throw out of the pocket. I mean, this is not a running quarterback. Who can also throw. No, he's one of the best pocket passers in the league. He's that good. But what makes the Cardinals elite and exceptional and tough to beat is when Kyler Murray is utilizing his legs, moving the chains, extending drives, keeping the defense on its toes. When that package comes together, the Cardinals are tough. They control the clock, and they win football games. And some of it might be the injury that he suffered. You know, the high ankle sprain midway through the season, which knocked him out for three games. And let's be honest, the elephant in the room was Kyler Murray reluctant to run until he got the big deal. Now that he's got the big contract, now that he's got the big contract, is he okay tucking it and going and picking up those 10, 12, 14 yard, I call them yard gobblers, right? He just moves his legs, eats up yards, right?
Yeah.
Like, and it's so effective. And that's what makes the Cardinals a winning football team. I want to see that return to the Arsenal Dame on Sunday against the Chiefs.
I like that. I like that. I like the way that you put that, yard gobblers.
And the yard gobbler.
I like that. You bring up a good point that, hey, because he did step back. He did take a step back as a running quarterback last year, and it may have been a little bit of chestnut checkers, making sure, hey, let me get my money before I start putting my body back on the line. So I like that point a lot. Yes. I like that point a lot, Tim. For me, one of the keys that I thought about was be balanced on offense and control a lot of the scrimmage, right? But I just talked about Chris Jones being in the middle of that Chiefs defense and how much havoc he can create for a pass rush. The one thing that any offensive lineman or offensive line coach will tell you, offensive linemen are much better when they get to attack than retreat. And I think being balanced and running the ball, getting downfield, the Chiefs have never been a physical defense in terms of stopping the run. That's why they brought in Aleel Chennault and went and got George Karlaftis to help those things, right? But those are two rookies. Let's make them earn it. You got a 245-pound running back in James Conner. Let's get him downhill. You brought in Cody Ford, who's a powerful interior offensive lineman. You got Rodney Hudson back at center, who's a physical, big body, thick, dense frame at the center position. And, of course, Will Hernandez's biggest trait is being physical vertically in the run game. Let's get these guys going vertical early. Let's really put the pressure. I always use basketball to football analogies, and the reason why, because they always parallel, always matches. Whenever you play in the paint, you think about playing Shaq in his days, you could have had someone that could shoot threes at the center position, but if Shaq's posting them up 30 times a game, their legs start to get a little wobbly because they're tired of holding up that weight. So when you think about from a running perspective, if you don't have Kyler drop back 40 times and you run the ball 25 to 30, those pass rushers in the middle and on the edge, their legs are a little tired because they're tired of those 300-plus-pound offensive linemen leaning on them early on in the game. So be balanced and control the line of scrimmage. Make sure Rodney Hudson is on his P's and Q's, because with Chris Jones and the way that he softens edges and knows how to get into the backfield – and stress Will Hernandez, make sure that Rodney Hudson is his bumper and helping him out. Hey, I'm going to close the inside gap. He can't come in. You can overset, things of that nature. That's going to keep Kyler comfortable. Now we make those young DBs cover. You got to cover Hollywood Brown. You have to cover Rondale Moore and A.J. Green. And, of course, Trey McBride and all those the different weapons this offense has. Let's make them cover both aspects of the offense and control the line of scrimmage.
And real quick, let me add to that, Blake, in terms of being physical and running the football, whether it's Kyler or Connor or even Darrell Williams, the former Chief, who you no doubt will be fired up to play this game on Sunday. As potent as the Cardinal offense can be, this is the one game and the one team you probably don't want to get into a shootout with. I don't think you want to play one of these games where the team that has the ball last wins. Especially with the Cardinals' problems right now at cornerback. If you can get a two-score lead, that's the time to use that physicality and grind out some drives on the ground using Connor, using Williams, using Kyler's legs. That way you can shorten the game, keep the ball out of Mahomes' hands, hang on to that two-score lead, and try to get yourself out of there with a W. To me, that's the pathway to victory. For the Cardinals, it's not to go back up and down the field with Mahomes. I mean, that's not the recipe. That's not the recipe for a W. It's right. to get a lead. It's to get a lead and then use Connor Williams and Kyler's legs to shorten the game and grind the clock and keep Mahomes on the bench. To me, that's the pathway to a win.
Yeah. I think we're all sharing, I think, a very similar thing, because this kind of fits with what my second point was going to be, which is about running the ball and how I think Cliff needs to step up and be able to innovate more in the run game. What we've seen from the Cardinals has been a lot of the 10 personnel spreading teams out, and they've had a very effective run game overall. We've seen with Chase Edmonds and James Conner, even the 1 year with Kenyon Drake. And what you say, Tim, is when you have Kyler Murray and his legs as a weapon, you suddenly teams now have to account for another, almost like another running back on the field. Now, Kyler can't carry your run game. That's the thing. He's the quarterback. He's your franchise. You can't just give the guy, you know, 9-10 carries or so. Now, Lamar Jackson, he showed at least last year that even if you give him that carries, he will get banged up, he'll miss time. That's why I think you need to be able to have the right amount. And I think the way that we've seen the Cardinals are trying to address that is by being more physical up front. They drafted a tight end. They brought in a Will Hernandez. I think that's one of the keys that we're hoping that the Cardinals are able to use more two tight end sets. I'd love to see them be able to have some under center looks where Kyler's able to, you know, use a bootleg or two, be able to kind of throw the defense, just giving more ways you can attack.
Yeah. Just what we've pick seen your is, spots, Blake.
Yeah.
Just pick your spots with that. Yep.
Exactly. But being that's, able to have Cliff, an effective running effect. That's Cliff's great.
Draw. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing, at least, too, is that keeps Kyler upright. That also will have plays where, you know, you can say, does his height get into being a factor, is what some people have said. You know, taking some of those different hits. Having a strong run game will keep your quarterback upright. And I think that we need to see Cliff do a bit more, because last year, as soon as DeAndre Hopkins went down, they ran the same offense. They didn't really change as much. They got the ball to Zach Ertz, featured the tight end a bit more. But I think it's really going to be that same innovation the Chiefs did of those two tight end sets. And even though he just got that deal, I think it's a big year for Cliff, because the Cardinals are going to be on Hard Knocks the second half of the season. And we know the stat. Every year, second half of the season, Cliff's teams have lost more games. They need to overcome that this year. And I think it's on Cliff in a lot of ways to be able to step up and prove that this isn't just a case that's following him. I think that's what I'm looking for, is to have that type of innovation that you can say is sustainable, not just for the first 8 weeks, but for the whole season long. I'd love to see that against the Chiefs.
Yeah, Blake, and you bring up a great point about Cliff Kingsbury. No matter how they start, and they may start very well again, but everybody's going to be wondering, okay, how are you going to finish? Prove to us that you can finish a season, because the last 2 years, 2 years ago, they had a chance to make the playoffs and they fizzled out. Last year, we know what happened in the playoffs. And even last year, guys, I mean, people don't talk about it much, but this is a team that could have won the division by beating the lowly Seahawks in the season finale in Glendale, and they didn't answer the bell. I mean, to me, that was just inexcusable.
And or the Lions.
To a team. But even going back into early December, you lose to the Lions. Obviously, that's inexcusable. But knowing all the chips on the table in the last week of the season, Detroit at least was on the road, and you could say, okay, well, they screwed that up. But seeing all the chips on the table against the 6-10 at the time Seahawk team in our building in the last week of the season, we can win the division, we can't win that game. And this, not we as an us three, but like the Cardinals, like we can't win that game. To me that spoke to a broken locker room and a team that wasn't going to do anything in the playoffs. And as we saw, that proved to be correct.
Yeah, and I would add, you know, for me, the defensively, I need to see more energy. I need to see Vance having these guys rally, because that's going to be really big against this Chiefs offense. Andy Reeks, in this preseason, he's given us a little precursors. I went back and watched some of the tape of how he's ran that offense, and they're a little bit more, because with Tyreek Hill, they were very RPO-ish. Now it's a little more standard, traditional concepts. 12 personnel, bootlegs. You see some of the run action.
Fullback.
Fullbacks. And all the stuff that you're not used to seeing with the Kansas City Chiefs. And what you need to be able to do defensively is, all right, we know they're going to find a way to get the ball to Travis Kelce. We have to rally. Rally to the ball. Don't give him any yards after the catch. Don't give him anything easy. Make them work for every single thing. Because as you talked about earlier, last year, and it was mainly out of pure arrogance, they're used to throwing the ball all over defenses. So defenses came out last year in two high coverages and say, you know what? We're playing two high shells. You are going to have to get some 10 to 12 play drives and drive downfield like a normal offense. You're not playing Madden anymore, Andy Reid. You're not going to get these quick slants and just take it to the house with us anymore. And it took all season almost. And it's not out of skill issue. It's just the Chiefs didn't want to do that. They didn't want to go 12, 13 plays. They wanted to go 5 to 7 because they were used to it. It took a while for them to get there. But now not having Tyreek Hill and not having anyone with his ability on your roster to really take a 6-yard slant 80 yards like we saw against the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs back in January, now you have to play more traditional. So the defense definitely has to rally to the football, play physical, man. Hit them every chance you get it, every moment you get to lay a hand on a Chief skill position player, a receiver, a running back, fullback, and a tight end. You need to make them feel you. Start making them think as they're running their routes across field. Man, I hate, like, what did Sam Darnold said against the Patriots? Coach, I'm seeing ghosts. You want receivers and tight ends coming across the middle just hearing footsteps. A guy could be 10 yards away from him, but you want them to feel that a presence is near, but you won't feel it unless you make them feel you early in the game. Set the tone. I'm looking for Isaiah Simmons and how they use him. I want to see more of him in space, moving around and flying to the ball, because he is the most athletic defender that this defense has, and he can really unlock some things if they use him correctly.
Yep.
Definitely. Awesome. So, yeah, so we're talking about a balanced attack, rallying to the football, at least on defense, being able to showcase that physicality. Tim, what's point number three? What's the third key for how the Cardinals can win this week?
Well, you know, this is as susceptible as they are on the back end. They're really young right now with their pass rushers, and there's still a big giant question mark right now about Marcus Golden. I would assume, guys, if it is a hold-in more so than an injury, the Cardinals are not going to open up against the Chiefs without Marcus Golden on the field. They're going to cure that injury at the negotiating table. I am quite confident. I would be shocked if a hold-in kept Marcus Golden off the field in that game on Sunday. Even if he is out there, though, the Cardinals, because they let go of Kennard and put him on the practice squad, but he's not on the roster. They've gone very, very young at edge rusher. J.J. Watt can still get to the passer if he's healthy. But for me, with susceptible corners, they can't cover all day back there. And I know part of the game plan, we talked about it earlier here in the show, that teams in the past have kind of let Mahomes run around back there and drop 8 into coverage and kind of do the job that way. To me, I think at some point the Cardinals have to find a way for Mahomes to feel uncomfortable. I'm not saying they have to sack him 6 times, but in this game, I don't know if it's Dennis Gardeck has to come up big, or maybe two of the rookies. Maybe I don't know if it's Cam Thomas or MyJ Sanders, whoever gets the most snaps, or Marcus Golden just rises from the dead here and has himself a big game. But somebody has to make Mahomes feel uncomfortable at some point during these 4 quarters of football. Because if he's just back there doing whatever Patrick Mahomes wants to do, the Cardinals are in for a long day. They won't be able to outscore the Chiefs. That's the way I look at it. And it's not a very, I'm not going very, very deep for this third key, guys. But for me, it's real simple. The Cardinals, outside of Marcus Golden, don't have many proven guys who can get to the quarterback off the edge. They have JJ up the middle a little bit, and they have Marcus off the edge. Other than that, somebody else has to make Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable at some point in this football game, or it's going to be a long day.
And to piggyback off of that, that's kind of how what my keys were as well, is you got to find the pass rush off the edge. You know, you have Victor Dimukeji, you have Majay Sanders and Cam Thomas. You have some young Pete Dennis Gardner. You have these young guys. Blake, we've talked about it in previous episodes. This is a team. You don't typically hear the term. You hear usually all offense. They're going to have to pass rush by committee. Like, every successful defense in the league right now has a guy at the edge rusher position that's their top pass rusher. The Cardinals don't have that right now, but they can still be a team that can possibly get those 40, 45 sacks. It's just going to have to be a myriad of different guys. You know, this guy has 8 sacks. This guy has 6. This guy has 7. They're going to have to rush by committee, and they're going to have to get some simulated pressures. You know, Vance is going to really have to be creative with his fronts and confuse quarterbacks pre-snap and show them something different post-snap. Make them hold the ball a little bit longer. And I keep saying, I watched the tape on these guys last year, Marco Wilson and all of them, even in the preseason. These guys are much better when you let them come to the line of scrimmage and play press coverage. Don't have them in zone too much, trying to communicate cross-field, because the offenses and the way that they use pre-snap alignment and everything else causes those miscommunications. You got one guy, you got two guys shifting at the same time. Now you got a linebacker in a corner trying to talk about, hey, who's got who? And you don't want that. You want to be able to play man coverage, allow your corners to feel, hey, I know who my guy is. Pre-snap, post-snap, I know who I'm covering. And that simplify it. Make it easy for them. Let them play to their athletic ability, and then make these quarterbacks hold the ball longer to help your young pass rushers get in the backfield.
Yeah, and to piggyback off of that, after you piggyback off of mine, Blake, before I throw it back to you, I am all for a sack total by committee. That would be fantastic. That's best case scenario. Let's say Golden gets 10, and everybody else combines a little bit here, a little bit there. Here's what concerns me. Outside, Dame, of a little sample size of Dennis Gardeck, we have no idea if these guys can play in the NFL, right? I mean, maybe they all can. Maybe they're all going to be fantastic, but we don't know yet. I mean, even Dimukeji, we don't know yet. Certainly the rookies, we don't know yet. So that's where, I mean, I'm excited to watch, right? Because let's see if they can. But the concern is we don't know if they can, Blake. Let's see, right?
Right. Yes, sir. Exactly. And that's where I think that we'll make end up seeing a shift to the defense. There originally it was focusing on making Chandler Jones, you know, stand out, putting him in that prime pass rusher role was one of the things that we saw the last few years. And then moving Hassan Reddick into that role when Jones went down, that was how their defense had been built. I think we're going to have to see them make some changes there, because Marcus Golden is obviously, like, all the credit to Marcus. He's an all-time great Cardinal, but he's still not Chandler Jones. What I think that we could see is more Buda Baker blitzing, or having more of their, I guess you'd say, double A gap, being able to utilize guys standing on the line of scrimmage, dropping back into coverage, which is one of Isaiah Simmons' strengths. Like, you credit, I think, the Cardinals for taking a little bit. He's always, I think, shown off when he did play the safety position better than he did at the regular inside linebacker position, or even at the edge rusher position. I think that using those guys as the chess pieces, and especially using Buda Baker more often as that nickel blitzer, maybe a bit of Byron Murphy if you can get him to play into the slot, that's going to have to be, I think, where some of that pass rush comes from. So we'll see. Hey, if you can get Marcus Golden to get 10 sacks, Buda Baker ends up with 5 just from being able to fire off the blitz, and Isaiah Simmons can do well in coverage, that's something I think can be good for the pass rush. I had a slightly different third point. Looking at last year with turnovers, Tim, you mentioned the Cardinals were at their best when they were able to get an early lead and run the football, put teams away. What I think, at least, that we've seen is that the Cardinals late in the season, they had more turnovers, they had mistakes. You think about the Green Bay game with Rondale Moore as a rookie fumbling. You think about with Kyler Murray, Cardinals had a couple times, he just threw a kind of a boneheaded interception in the red zone. So my point number 3 I wrote was, don't be that guy. Like, don't be that guy who gets burned in coverage as a young player. Don't be that guy who gives that ball away. Because the Chiefs, they will make you pay for the most part. And we've seen when the Chiefs win the turnover battle, that is it's almost impossible to beat them if you do turn the ball over. So that's one thing I'm also looking for Arizona. See if you can force that turnover from the Chiefs by getting that pressure on Mahomes as well.
Yeah, Blake, I mean, we're talking about Patrick Mahomes. We're talking about a team that blew a, what, 18-point lead in the AFC Championship game last year. Otherwise, they'd be eyeing up this season their fourth consecutive Super Bowl. If you give them one or two extra possessions, even one, I mean, you're killing yourself. If you lose the turnover battle by a couple, you have no chance to beat a Patrick Mahomes team. No, none.
And to you guys' point, the one thing that they have to watch out for as well, Patrick Mahomes is one of the most dangerous quarterbacks against the blitz. Be careful when you blitz him. If you're going to, you got to disguise it, because the moment he notices it, he shreds it. The Baltimore Ravens didn't beat him in like 3 years because they kept trying to blitz him. And last year, when they did finally defeat him and got the chance to get some turnovers and get back in that game last year at home, they stopped blitzing him. You can't blitz Mahomes. You got to be able to rush him with four. And if you do blitz, you got to disguise it. And I think for me, it kind of goes into my X factor as well. So I'll kind of pair my X factor and my third point together. Cliff Kingsbury, we talk about creativity defensively. He's been a coach that has been notorious for not wanting to use pre-snap motion. Pre-snap motion is so prevalent in the NFL. He's got to use it, man. It changes a lot of things. It causes communication for defenses in the run game. When you start motioning guys from left to right, right to left, it shifts gaps. It creates advantage and blocking angles for the offensive line because you know where you're going. The running back knows where he needs to go. The defense doesn't know exactly what's coming. So when you shift a guy over, they move over a gap. That opens up some space for you. So use the pre-snap motion, and that goes into how you use Rondale Moore. Rondale Moore is one of the most explosive. This is a 4'2 guy coming out of college who jumped over 40 inches. He is very, very explosive. He's a dynamite type of player. They always, you know, big booms come in small packages, right? He's one of those guys. So don't use him the way you did last year as a gadget guy. They talked about him running more routes this year, getting him more in the vertical pass game. Do that, because these nickel corners will have a difficult time when you start moving him around, putting him in the backfield. You think about not just what we see with Deebo Samuel, but you look across the division as well. Cooper Kupp lines up in the backfield. Cincinnati puts Jamar Chase in the backfield. It's what teams are doing to create mismatches. Put Rondale Moore back there. Put Hollywood Brown back. Heck, put both of them back there and then split them out into the slot and make, because New England used to do that with Edelman and Amendola, and they'll have the tight ends outside against corners and have the linebackers guarding the slot receivers in the slot. That's pure mismatches. Create mismatches against a defense that's trying to find themselves in the Kansas City Chiefs. So I want to see some creativity and use Rondale Moore, because I think he's the X factor, especially while D-Hop is out. This young man can really break a game open.
I think that's a great one overall. And I think you mentioned also one of the players who, if I had to pick an X factor for this game, we've probably talked about him more than any other, I think is Isaiah Simmons. The Cardinals decided to essentially pass up addressing cornerback because he can play the slot. You know, you don't get a pass rusher. He's a guy who can blitz. I think that he's probably the biggest X factor on defense. Now on offense, this is Kyler Murray's best friend we're talking about in Hollywood Brown, a guy they had a huge connection with in college. And the Cardinals traded, you know, they got a third round pick back, but they gave up their first round pick in order to bring him into the fold. And they really haven't had a speed threat like him. Now, Rondale last year, they obviously, you know, you talk about the 4.2 speed, but all of his routes for the most part were just within the line of scrimmage. Like maybe some more creativity using him in that Kirk role. But with DeAndre Hopkins out, I think that if Hollywood Brown is able to step up and fill that gap, then that will essentially kind of patch over the offense enough before DeAndre Hopkins can come back. I think that that's one of the biggest things I want to see is, can these Chiefs young corners be able to stop Hollywood Brown on these post routes? Can the offense buy time? If Hollywood is able to deliver on this kind of promise that the Cardinals have had of, this is just our one missing piece, we needed another receiver to go with him, that I think will be a huge boon for the Cardinals offense. And, you know, like they say, you want to stop your opponent, but at the end of the day, it's not who holds the opponent, you know, to 0 points. It's you hold the opponent to fewer points than your offense scores. Sometimes the best defense can be a good offense. And we'll see if Hollywood Brown can be part of that.
Guys, I'm going to give you a real X factor. I mean, Isaiah Simmons and Hollywood Brown have to play great. There's no question about it. But they're two of the Cardinals' best players. I mean, to me, the X factor is the unknown, right? The guy that it could play well out of nowhere and make the difference. Now, I have not talked to Cliff Kingsbury. This is coming from nowhere but, you know, my underused noggin up here. Keep an eye on Trey McBride in week one.
Yes.
And a little bit is because Zach Ertz is not 100%. But I'm wondering if just from what I've seen in preseason and training camp, and knowing that this guy was the best tight end in college football last year, is the Mackey Award winner, watching him block, watching him catch the football, I wouldn't be surprised if Kingsbury has him a part of the game plan. There's a little bit of the element of surprise to attack that Chiefs defense on Sunday. And I'm not saying he's going to go for 9 catches, 142 yards, but keep an eye on Trey McBride as being an instrumental part of the Cardinal attack, either between the 20s or the red zone on Sunday. That's my X factor, Trey McBride.
I like that, Tim. I like that because, like I said, he was the Mackey Award winner. Being in Mobile, being able to see him in person, strong frame. But the thing that stood out the most was, because he's not the best athlete, he's not the most explosive guy, but his hands are like super glue. He has vice grips. And it's like you watch him and we watch him in practice. Guys be draped all over him. He's making this incredible tough catches away from his frame, up in the air, snagging the ball, snatching it from a defender, and just that toughness, the strong hand, that those things are going to be so important, you know, across the middle of the field where things get a little muddy. Those contact catches, what we call in the scouting world, those contact catches, playing through contact. He does a great job of that. So if Zach Ertz is limited and they don't want to run him, Trey McBride can absolutely step in. And the fact that teams wouldn't know how to game plan for him yet would be a very big thing and a very big feather in the cap for Cliff Kingsbury in the offense.
Hey, look, Blake, if you're going to take a tight end with your top pick when you don't need a tight end, you better use that tight end. And you might as well do it in week one when the other team has no film on him. So there you go.
Exactly.
I'll leave you with that.
The Chiefs at least here winning right now, but I think that the Cardinals will make it a really close game, a good offensive game. I think that'll be at least something you can say. Like, you never talk about there being a good loss. I just think that right now, when it comes to it, it's almost the unstoppable force of the Chiefs meeting the immovable object of the Cardinals in week one. I think that the Chiefs are the one that have the veteran team. I think that you trust their quarterback at least slightly more. I'll say it's 36-33 Chiefs, and it comes down to Cardinals score a game-tying, you know, touchdown. There's 25 seconds left in the clock, and Mahomes gets the Chiefs into field goal range. I think that's what I'm going to predict, at least. Otherwise, I'd expect a lot of fireworks. It seems like this is a Chiefs defense that's still weak, Cardinals defense that's weak. There could be a very, very interesting opening to the season in Glendale for your Cardinals starting 2022.
You know, I got a funny story real quick. Last year when they opened up at Tennessee, I thought with my head instead of my heart, being a Cardinal fan. And not only did I think, I bet with my head, and I bet big on the Titans on the money line. Because remember, that was the first weekend sports gambling was legal.
Right.
So I was like, woohoo, you know, I'm going to empty my bank account. Because there's no way the Cardinals are going to go on the road and beat Derrick Henry and the Titans. Well, I learned my lesson. So this year, guys, I'm going to pick with my heart and not my head. Even though I think the Chiefs are probably going to win this game, I'm actually going to pick the Cardinals because I got burned last year. And I do see no reason why the Cardinals can't win a home game in week one with the talent they have on the offensive side of the football. So I'm going to go 34-30. And I'm going to predict the game goes just like the pathway to victory that I talked about earlier in the show. Cardinals get up 34-23. They run the football. They bleed the clock. Mahomes does get a late touchdown, but it's not good enough. And the Cardinals get that 34-30 win in week one. That's my story. Damon, I'm sticking to it.
I like it, Tim. I like it. I'm also with you, man. I'm taking the Cardinals in this one. It's a lot of uncertainty, a lot of youth, a lot of newness for the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's week one, baby. Wild things happen week one. Every year, something happens in week one that we just didn't expect. Last year, it was the Cardinals putting a whooping on the Tennessee Titans, right? This Chiefs defense is going to have to prove that they can stop the dynamic ability of this Cliff Kingsbury-led offense. And with Kyler Murray at the helm, a happy Kyler Murray, a happily paid Kyler Murray, with his best friend at wide receiver, his former offensive tackle at guard. He's got some camaraderie there. And I think this offense is going to be able to put up enough points. And I'm going to go 35-32. I think they win by a field goal. Woo-hoo. I think they're able to get that lead and bleed the clock out with 6 minutes left with that run game.
There you go, Blake. There you go.
Making me look like the bad guy, being the one person who's there, who's like picking over against everyone.
I mean, Blake, if my life depended on it, and we weren't just having fun on the old podcast, right, I would probably pick Patrick Mahomes, like gun to my head. But I got burned last year. I'm not going to get burned again.
Oh yeah, and hey, every NFL Network member, except for Mark Sessler, picked the Chiefs as well. It was the same story as a year ago. Everyone picked the Titans. So it's like sometimes maybe we're sleeping a little bit too much, at least for the most part. So I love Mahomes. We'll see at least how it plays. If the Cardinals had DeAndre Hopkins on their team, I would probably have no hesitation. I still want to see how that offense adjusts without him, I think, at least before I'm able to say cards went outright.
Trey McBride, baby. Trey McBride.
Hey, thanks so much again for joining us, Tim. Again, make sure that you can follow him. He's going to be on the pre- and post-game show for the Arizona Cardinals, so he's listening locally. Make sure that you're calling in to talk about the season. Tim's going to be there also with all the pregame. Thanks so much for having you on. It's been a privilege to be able to talk with you a bit about the Cardinals. And, hey, let's hope we can get a W to start the season for the most part.
Yep. We'll all be watching. It'll be great, Blake. Anytime. Yes,
awesome. Hey, this is for me, Damian. This is Blake Murphy. We're signing off here for the ROTV Pod. We'll be back next week. Talk about the Chiefs game, and we'll review the upcoming game against the Las Vegas Raiders as well. Football season in full swing. Thanks again for tuning in, and go Cards.